A few weeks back, probably about 5 weeks ago now, I spoke to you about the church as being a place of encouragement, a place where we need to encourage one another. You might remember I had read a quote from Fletcher Tink, who had been here not all that long ago. He had posted something online about the encouragement he had received as a young man from his mentor, who made such an impact upon his life and how gave him confidence to go forward. And God has used him in tremendous ways globally for God's kingdom. He received encouragement, and there he was able to thereby give encouragement to so many people, even for us here in Whitehorse, that impact came. We looked at the scriptural case of Barnabas, who earned the nickname Son of Encouragement, and was a particular blessing to Mark during a time when Mark would have been a little unsure of himself. When others were kind of hesitant, Barnabas stepped up to the plate and said, "I'm with you," and encouraged Mark. And Mark was able to go on and be used of God in tremendous ways. And the point simply is that lives are changed, sometimes dramatically, because of a word of encouragement. It can bestow such a powerful blessing upon people. I know that I have been the recipient of encouragement many times. And times when it's been difficult and I needed that. And God's people came around and encouraged me and my family in different situations. And wow, it's just a tremendous blessing that we need to remember to do. But this morning, I'd like for us to look at another aspect of life in the church as the body of Christ. What does it look like? We are the church, by the way. The church isn't this building, as nice as it is. The church is not the organization, as important even as that is. There's a place for that. The church is the people, us, together, the body of Christ. We come together, a group of people who are loved by God and love one another. You remember the greatest commandment that Jesus gave? He was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Matthew chapter 22, verse towards the end of that, Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he said, and the second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. And it always works that way. And in so many ways that our relationship with God, this vertical, if you want to put it, relationship, is there to impact our relationships with one another. That's what it's for. As we have been forgiven, we forgive. As we have been loved, we love. As we have been recipients of grace, we extend grace, and so on and so forth. And so in so many ways, that relationship that we have with God is extended this way to one another. And so I want us to take a look this morning at a passage of scripture in John chapter 13. This is something that Jesus said towards the end of his ministry. It wasn't the very end, but you could almost think of it kind of like the beginning of the end. John chapter 13, verses 33 to 35. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He is kind of giving them a heads up, you know, so that they're not caught off guard. He's giving them a heads up. He says, "Dear children," I love how he puts that, by the way, "dear children," you know. These are grown-ups, you know. "Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you cannot come where I am going. So now I am giving you a new commandment." He said, "Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Now again, Jesus is preparing to leave his disciples. He knows his time on earth is almost done. Imagine If you only had so much time left with your loved ones, some of you have been there. You've been at the bedside of maybe a parent or a sibling, or even harder, maybe a child who you knew had only so much time left. But in the case of a parent or somebody older than you, you're listening. What do they have to say to me? What would be their last words for me? What would you tell somebody if you only had so much time left? What would you consider to be so important? That's where Jesus was with his disciples. He was maybe not at the end, but he was getting there. And what does he tell them? This is his disciples. These are people who've been following him, who've been walking with him, who've been enduring things together with him. And what does Jesus tell them? He tells them to love one another. And of all the things that the church, God's people together are, we must be a people who genuinely, authentically, and even radically love one another. I'm sure you're familiar with the quote-unquote love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Beautiful chapter. Describes what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It goes on like that. Beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look it up sometime if you aren't familiar with it, or even if you are. A lot of times we read that passage, or it's been read at wedding ceremonies. Right? Right, Rex? You remember that one? Yeah, I was there. And others too. We read that. It's not uncommon. But the truth of the matter is, 1 Corinthians 13 is not talking about a romantic love between a husband and a wife. When Paul writes, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Beautiful words, meaningful words, they certainly apply in a marriage relationship, absolutely, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the relationships in the church. The church at Corinth was having a hard time. They were a problem. we don't want to think of it that way, but they were a problem. And they were a challenge. And Paul is writing to them and saying, this is how you need to treat one another in the church. And that's the kind of love that Jesus is talking about in John chapter 13 when he told his followers, love each other just as I have loved you. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In the past, Jesus had taught his disciples to love their enemies, right? We could understand Jesus saying that. As hard as it is, we can understand Jesus saying that. We can understand Jesus saying that we need to bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who mistreat you. We can understand that, as difficult as they are. We are familiar with Jesus' teaching that we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're even familiar with the teaching that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. But this is the first time Jesus is telling his followers, his disciples, that they need to love each other. It's as if, you got everything else down pat. Love the Lord, love your neighbor, do good to your enemies, etc., etc. But, don't forget. Don't forget. You guys have got to love each other as well. I mean, it sounds kind of ironic that he even needs to say that. But he does, because these are a people who came from such different backgrounds. These are a people who, in their previous life, and I don't mean that literally, okay, but before they came to know Christ, that's what I mean by that, they would have been at each other's throats. They would not have seen eye to eye. They would have had different interests. Some of them wouldn't have talked to some of the others. Or if they talked to them, they would not have been nice words. And now they are in Christ. They have a new life. And Jesus tells them, while you're out busy loving everybody else, don't forget to love one another. It's kind of not all that different than something I remember hearing many, many years ago, preparing for ministry, being told, you know, while you love everyone else, don't forget to love your family. You know, don't neglect your own personal family while you're out loving everybody else. And that's important. It's important for each one of us, actually. We can all get so busy and involved in a thousand things. We can't forget to love one another in our own family. And then the church. The church, too, is our family. All we do, all we say, our motivations, our priorities need to be reflected with an attitude of love. And the truth is, we figure we've all got this. This is an easy sermon. This is an easy sermon to listen to because, you know, we've all got this down pat. We all love. Anybody here say they hate, they're hateful? Anybody who's always say, I hate people? No, nobody's going to say that. We all love, right? We all figure we got this down pat. It's easy. But not so fast. There's that one phrase in Jesus' statement that kind of changes things. And Jesus said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And that makes it different. In other words, we need to look to Jesus as our example of what love looks like. We don't love the world. Extends love in the measure in which it often receives it. If you love me, I will love you, right? That's generally how it works. But we don't love based on how others love us, how they treat us. We don't love others according to how good they make us feel, or what favors they do for us, because that's not really what love is. We don't love others even as we see them loving others as following their example. We are to love one another in the same manner that Jesus loved his followers. And that takes it to a whole different level. You see, we see how people love, and we figure, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. I'm doing better than the average. Where do we come up with that, you know? I guess we got that when we were growing up in school. I'm doing better than the average, you know? I'm okay. I'm doing better than the average. And when it comes to God's kingdom and God's desires for us, it's not about the average. Whenever we compare ourselves to some other human standard, we're going to do fine, because we're always going to find somebody who we're doing better than. If we compare, you know, well, I love my neighbor, I love people a lot better than that guy over there or that gal over there, so I must be okay. That's not what Jesus says. The people around us are not the standard. Let that sink in. The people around you are not the standard on which we base what it means to love. Jesus is the standard. We got to keep that in the forefront of our mind. And how did he love? Think about it. How did Jesus love? I'm going to pull out a pen here. I'm going to write it down. I want you to think of one word that describes God's love. Think about it for a few seconds. Think of one word that you would use if somebody asks you, how would you describe God's love in one word? You know, one of these big street interviews, somebody sticks a microphone in your face and a camera. How would you describe God's love in one word, sir? Ma'am? And you're on the spot. What would you say? Go ahead. Somebody call it out. Not all at once. Yes? Unconditional. Okay, I'm going to try to write these down, so don't be too fast. Everlasting. Good. Anybody? Sacrificial? Is that what I heard? Yeah. How's that? Completely. Nice. I like that. I like them all, actually. Anybody else? Patient. Oh, yeah. Especially with me. How's that? Selflessly. Yeah. Good. Servant? Servant-like, yes. Preemptive. Wow. Now you're getting into big words there. Okay. Good. Wow, those are great words, aren't they? You know, we got unconditional, everlasting, sacrificial, completely, patient, selflessly, servant-like, preemptive. Wow, those are all good words. The word that came to my mind first was actually the first one that was mentioned here, and that's unconditionally. Even Reverend Earl Wood mentioned that, referred to that. He didn't mention it by that, but he referred to that last week when he was reading from Romans chapter 8. You know, what can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? If you missed that, read it sometime in towards the end of Romans chapter 8. The bottom line is nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. It's unconditional. It's not based on what we do. It's not based on, you know, the fine heritage you have. It's not based on your superior education or your physical attributes. It's not based on who you are or even your character. God's love is based on His character and who He is. There's a big difference there. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. That is His nature. That is His character. He is love. He loves us not because I'm a good boy and I keep my nose clean, when at least when nobody's looking, and all these other sorts of things, because I'm this, or because I do that, or because I have this. He loves me not because of who I am and what I've done, but because of who He is. It's His nature. And because of that, God's love for you and for me is unconditional. He will always love us, no matter what the cost. And indeed, there was a high cost. It was mentioned, sacrificial was mentioned. Jesus' love took Him to the cross. That's what held Him there. You remember just before He was arrested, you remember Peter got a bit anxious and started to, you know, the old Peter came out and is like, oh, they're going to arrest Jesus. I got to do something. Pulls out his sword, starts hacking. And Jesus pulls Peter aside and reprimands him and says, hey, that's not what we're here to do. If I wanted to fight a battle with swords, Jesus even said, I could have called 12 legions of angels to come to His defense, to my defense. Imagine that. Jesus, just with a word, just with a thought, could have called 12 legions of angels. It's been a while since I did my military type of thinking in the old days, but I don't know how many a legion is, but it's a lot. Some of you, I'm sure, know already. 12 legions. But he didn't, because he loved us. He needed to die for our sins. It wasn't about him. It was about our needs. He died in our place so that we can have eternal life. It was our only hope. Even Jesus prayed that if there's some other way that this could be accomplished, that, you know, he'd sure appreciate that, Lord, Father. I don't mind. But there wasn't. It's been said that it wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love. His love for you, his love for me. That's what love does. That's what love is. It's not about me, what you're doing for me. It's about, from my perspective, it's what's best for you. What do you need? That's the kind of love that Jesus had. That's the kind of love he showed his disciples. And that's the kind of love that we need today, that will stand out in a world of selfishness. You see, people could debate all sorts of things. They could debate about whether Jesus worked miracles by the power of God or the power of Beelzebub. They could debate whether or not he broke the Sabbath with him. They could debate whether or not he was John the Baptist come back, or Elijah, or one of the prophets. The people in Jesus' day could argue with him about all kinds of things. But one thing that was undeniable was his love for the people. And likewise today, people could argue about your theology. They can question your beliefs. They can doubt your abilities. They can doubt all sorts of things about you. The list is endless, really. But if we love anywhere near in like manner as Jesus loved us, then it will be undeniable. Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I just want to encourage you, as we think about this and come to a close this morning, let me ask you, who is there in your life that you need to love like Jesus loved? Not love the way you've been loved. Maybe you've not been loved much at all. But who is there in this world that you need to love in the same way that Jesus loved, unconditionally? If you're a married person, I would begin with your home. Are you loving your spouse the way Jesus loves you? Well, of course I love my spouse. I understand that. I sure hope you do. I know you do. But are we loving the person who is closest to us in the manner that Jesus loves us? What about your neighbor? What about your other neighbor, the annoying one? How are you loving them? Do they deserve it? I don't know. Probably not. But did we deserve God's love? Certainly not. What about your coworkers? Or people down the street, or maybe even somebody behind you or in front of you or across from you in the pews. As far as Jesus is concerned, loving others as he has loved us is not an option. It's a command. A new command I'm giving you. Love one another. Even as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. I realize this isn't always easy, because extending love is often a sacrifice. I mean, if there wasn't sacrifice involved, there'd be really nothing to it. Sometimes it's downright hard. And it's not about someone deserving your love any more than we deserved God's love. In the end, it becomes simply a matter of obedience. Am I going to do and live the way God wants me to live? Am I going to be the person God wants me to be? Am I going to reflect what I have received from God in the most difficult circumstances and extend that to those around me? If the circumstances were easy, and many times they are, then there's nothing to it. But when they're challenging, that's when I need to surrender my life to God daily in such a way that I will love the people unconditionally. Do I get that right? No, I don't get it right all the time. And I know you don't either. We don't. But this is something that we can strive for. This is something that we should aim for. This is something that we should be praying for. Because in the end, the only reason I don't succeed in this is because myself is in the way. It's easy to say, oh yeah, we love all people. But it's something else to do. But by the grace of God and the power of God, we can and we must. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, and Father, this command to love one another, while on the surface it seems like it's a piece of cake, at the heart level, Lord, it's a challenge. It's a major challenge, because the true depth of love is not about me. It's about what the other person needs. And Father, I just pray that you'd help me to love those around me in the same manner that you have loved. And I pray, Father, for your people that have gathered here this morning. Lord, there may be some who are facing situations where loving someone is an extreme challenge. And I understand that doesn't always mean that we feel great and comfortable and happy around some situation or person. But Lord, at the heart level, we can love as you have loved. And I pray, Father God, that you would give us the courage and the boldness to go forth and to express the kind of love that has come from you to the world that is around us, and thereby, Lord, making our love for you very undeniable. And Lord, that's what the world needs. The world needs to see a love that is out of this world, quite literally. May we experience that love from you, and may we extend it one to another, in Jesus' name. Amen.